Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Yeah, our youth ministry has a few loud people in it. And I pray they're never quieting down. I hope you guys don't ever get too quiet. Hope you guys don't become older and then realize that you have to lose your passion because now you're an adult. I pray that you guys would keep that passion you have for God right now and carry that into your adult years in Jesus' name. Turn the world upside down. Stay passionate. It's awesome. We're going to come around a time of communion in just a moment. I'm going to share a very short message for those of you that have ADD. This is your night. This is your night. You've been petitioning for shorter services. This is the time, one time of the year, where we get to have that short service. So ADD people, put your hand in the air. You're probably distracted right now, so don't worry about it. It's all good. It's all good. I get distracted so easily. What's this speaker? I don't know. Anyway. The title of my mini message tonight, because every message needs a title. My mini message is called Thank God It's Friday. Thank God It's Friday. It's a great restaurant and it's an even greater day, Good Friday. Let me pray. God, I thank you for everybody here tonight on this Good Friday service. God, tonight we don't come here just to hang out as Christians. We don't come here tonight just to play church. We don't come here tonight just to receive a little nice little bit of information from Pastor Drew. But no, in fact, we come here tonight, God, with the expectation that, God, you're in this house tonight. Your power is here tonight. And that by the stripes of on your back, Jesus, I declare that tonight there'd be a night of healing, that tonight would be a night of salvation, that tonight would be a night of transformation in people's lives. And everyone said, amen. So three quick thoughts around communion. The first one I want to share with you is whenever I come around communion, one of the first things or the first thought I always have is one of gratitude, thankfulness. So grateful for what Jesus did. I know it's real basic. It's going to be a basic message tonight. I'm sorry, theologians. You can watch YouTube stuff tonight when you get home. I'm so grateful because what Jesus did, now I don't have to do that. It's so easy in life to lose gratitude. Even a good person can lose gratitude unintentionally. I remember when I was 7 years old, one of the greatest Christmases of all time. Santa, he came, he delivered. I mean, it was pretty amazing. Green BMX bike from Santa. Those of you that don't know, iPhone kids, a bike is this contraption that you transport yourself from point A to point B and you use physical exertion, unlike a motorbike. And this happens at a crazy place that you may have never been to, outside. I'm going after that generation. Because how many people know that riding your bike outside was the coolest thing of all time? Back in the day, before parents wouldn't let their kids leave the front mailbox without something watching them, like a drone or something. But my bike was incredible. It was a green BMX, brand new. Obviously, it was brand new. Santa built it. If it was secondhand, I would have questioned Santa significantly. Brand new bike, it was beautiful. I parked it in the garage. My parents had to leave their car outside. That's how good this bike was. I'd clean it, I'd polish it. I would pump the PSI perfectly in those tires to give me the agility and mobility I needed to really ride as fast as I possibly could and jump things, and it was amazing. I took care of it. I was so grateful for this bike as a 7-year-old. But it was interesting how as time went on, I didn't take as much care of it. I didn't maybe clean it like I used to. I didn't maybe park it in the right spot in the garage. I left it outside, or maybe it ended up eventually in the shed in my parents' backyard filled with snakes and spiders because it's Australia, and everywhere you go in Australia, there's snakes and spiders. And my bike ended up just an old, rusty old thing, not because the bike was bad or anything like that, just because I just had stopped appreciating it. I kind of lost my gratitude for it. This is why communion is so important, because as you and I come around communion, we're reminded, oh my gosh, God, I'm so grateful. Jesus, it still blows my mind what you did for me. Even though it's blown my mind for 50 years, 20 years, whatever, it's always going to blow my mind, because I'm always going to be so grateful that you hung on a cross so I didn't have to. Gratitude. I feel gratitude around communion. The second thing is I feel valued around communion. I feel valued. I think this is a topical discussion right now in the world, isn't it? What are we worth? People are asking that question. What am I worth? And they're looking everywhere else but God to try and find that. They try and find their value in all kinds of other things. What their boyfriend will say about them. Or the stuff that they own. The home they buy, the cars they have, the whatever. We try and find value in everything else, don't we? But this is why communion is so powerful. Because it's a moment where you and I, despite where our self-esteem is at, despite where our self-worth may be, despite our insecurity or wherever, whatever you're thinking, whatever lie you may have believed from the devil, when you take communion, you cannot help but feel valued, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he hung on a cross for you and I. And if you're wondering how much you're worth, let me tell you, Jesus said, I'll trade my life for theirs. You can't put a value on yourself. It's impossible to. And you don't need to, because Jesus says they're so valuable that I would trade my life for theirs, even in the chance that they may not even choose to follow me. I feel gratitude, I feel valued, and I feel renewed as well. Renewed. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 from the Amplified Version says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Because of spiritual awakening brings a new life. It brings a new life. I feel renewed. When I come around communion, it's a time where I feel renewed. And renewal is extremely different from self-improvement. It is extremely different. Some bookstores have put the Bible in the self-help section, which I find somewhat offensive. You see, Jesus didn't come and hang on a cross merely to improve you and I. And tragically, some people will treat Jesus like a supplement, where he's there to improve part of your life. He's a tablet. You just pop that and it helps you with a certain part of your life. The Jesus pill, the supplement. But he's so much more than that. He's so much more. He's not a supplement, he's a savior. He didn't come to improve part of your life. He came to give you a whole new life. He came to give you and I a renewed life. A whole new life. A whole new life. This is why Good Friday is significant. This is why communion is such a powerful moment. You and I get to take the bread and the juice, or if you brought your own wine from home, knock yourself out. I mean, don't knock yourself out. You get what I'm saying. Hey, people have done it. We take the bread, which was his body broken for you and I. We take the juice representing his blood that was shed to pay our sins, our debt. So I'm going to invite you all to stand right now, and we're going to sing a worship song. And as we're singing this worship song, you can go ahead and you can partake in the bread and in the juice. And maybe one of those words were for you tonight. Maybe it was gratitude. Maybe you don't feel valued. Maybe you just need to be renewed. Maybe it's all three. As we sing this next song, I want you to take a moment and reflect on one or more of those words. Come on, worship team, let's sing a song together as we take communion tonight.
Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by that precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. When the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now my curse of sin has no hold on me. When the sun sets free, oh, is free.
Yeah, come on, sing it again.
Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free.
Seated. Worship team, just hang with me just for a moment. You can be seated. I love that song. Don't you love that song? I love that song. The line in that song, in case you missed it. Now my debt is paid. It's paid in full. Not in partial, but in full. It's paid by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Maybe the curse of sin's had a hold on you. Doesn't have to. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Is free indeed. Come on, somebody. It's free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Your sin's been paid for. You've been bought at a price. The precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus paid the debt so that you and I don't have to pay it. Thank God it's Friday, because Friday was the day where Jesus said, they can't pay it, so let me pay it for them. Let me pay it for them. Let me pay it for the good guy. Let me pay it for the bad guy. Let me pay it for Mother Teresa. Let me pay it for the criminal. No matter where they've been, no matter what they've done, I'll pay it. That price so you and I don't have to. We often treat sin like debt. And religion has taught us that that the way to undo sin is to do good deeds. It's all twisted theology, which sounds really good and noble, but it's incorrect. You see, because if we treat sin like we treat calories, then we count them, and if we do X amount of bad things, but we do X amount of good things, they kind of balance each other out, that doesn't make any sense. You see, our salvation can't be bought by us. Jesus has already paid the price. You may feel, and I feel like this is the condition of so many people in our world, they feel like they're in debt, but they're not sure what to. They're not sure what to. I don't know about you, but I could be in financial debt, and that's one thing. But to be in debt to sin is a whole nother. And too many people go through life carrying on their shoulders this burden of debt. But the crazy thing is, it's been paid for. It's not yours to pay. We can't pay our salvation ourselves. We can't buy salvation ourselves. We can't earn our salvation ourselves. Just recently, I was at a restaurant having dinner, and we asked the server for the check. And she said, "Well, actually, I've got some good news for you. Somebody at the table over there, they've just left. They've just paid your entire check for you, for your whole table. Come on, somebody. That's amazing, right, when that happens? So amazing. What a blessing that was. So there's nothing I could do. I could not pay. I could not repay that. I could give her my credit card. I could try and write a check. I could throw cash at her. I could say, let me go into the dish room out the back of the kitchen and let me wash some dishes to make up for it." She'd say, "No. It's been paid for. It's dealt with. Have a good night. You can leave now. There's nothing I could do about it. I could have written checks. I could have tried to pay her, but the debt was already paid for. It was paid for by somebody else. We can't live our lives trying to earn our salvation, trying to pay something that was never ours to pay. Jesus has paid the debt for you and I. I know it's basic, simple teaching, but it's good. It's good to not forget. It's good to not forget. Salvation cannot be bought. It cannot be earned. Because if you have to work hard to earn your salvation, then you're going to have to work hard to keep it. Salvation cannot be won like some form of crazy lottery. And it unfortunately, it's being taught. The theology of some people is that some people are just predestined to go to heaven and some people are just predestined not to. Like, what? Where do you find that? Where do you get that information? On Google? Someone's blog? Like God's in heaven and he didn't think heaven through. Like, God's pretty sharp. You know, he created the whole universe in a week, etc. He's pretty awesome. But you know, God, he didn't think through the property development side of heaven. Heaven's limited up there. The real estate's it's kind of tight. There's not enough space for everybody. What? The idea, the thought that some people are pre-selected for heaven and some are not is just crazy to me. As a father of two children, there's no way I would be able to choose that one would go to heaven and one would not. There's no logical parent could do that. Rather, I would just say, "Well, you know what? They can both go to heaven and you can take me instead. You just take me instead." Yet sometimes people have treated salvation like, "Well, you're just one of the lucky ones." But salvation is available to each and every single one of us. And the devil wants to lie to you and tell you, "You've done too many bad things. You've gone a little too far." Friend, it doesn't matter how far you've gone, because the grace of God will always catch up to you. He'll always catch up to you. He'll always pull you in. And I know it's crazy. I know it's scandalous. I know it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But that's the grace of God. It doesn't make sense. It puts Mother Teresa and the worst criminal on the same playing field. Because even if you live a really good life, really noble person, and you score a 99 out of 100, you're still short. You're still short by one. Wouldn't that be unfortunate? You're still short by one. You tried your best. The grace of God makes up that one point. Or maybe you're a bad person. Hopefully you're not, but let's just say you are. Pretend you're a bad person and you score a 1 out of 100. You've done it. You've had a bad life. The grace of God makes up for that 99 points that you did not make up for. And I know it seems unfair, but it's the goodness and the grace of our God. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've gotten up to. You and I, we cannot earn our salvation. We cannot win our salvation. We cannot purchase our salvation. We simply need to receive salvation. Salvation, simply put, is a gift from God to us in the form of Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross for each and every person in this room. The crazy thing about it is that Jesus hung on a cross for all of mankind. Yes, he did. But he still would have hung on the cross if it was just you and him. Isn't that a crazy thought? Just you and him, he still would have hung on it. Just imagine that for a moment. You're the person nailing him to the cross. It's just you and Jesus. You're the one nailing him to the cross. He still would have hung on that cross for you. Isn't that an amazing thought? Let's go a layer deeper than that. You're the only person in this world. You're nailing Jesus to the cross. And there's no guarantee that you're even gonna follow him. Yet he still would have hung on that cross. On the off chance that maybe, hopefully, possibly, you would choose to follow him. That's how much God loves you. If you're wondering, man, how much does God love me? He loves you so much that he would risk his only son, Jesus, just for you. Just for you. I shared this scripture earlier, but I'll share it one more time. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, this time from the NLT. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. You become a new person when you belong to Christ. Not an improved person, a whole new person. It's not a new chapter in your book. It's a whole new book. It's a whole new book. God says, that book was good, but here's a whole new book. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. In the last few minutes we have here, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not close with God right now, maybe you're far from him, or maybe you need that new life I was just talking about. Maybe you're disconnected from Jesus. Or maybe you've never made a choice in your life to actually follow him. Friends, I'm not talking about going to church. You can go to church your whole life and still not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is a crazy thought in itself, but it's true. You can go to church your entire life, but never actually start a relationship with Jesus Christ. On this Good Friday evening, I want to ask the question, if you're not close with God right now, maybe you're far from him. If that's you tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to include you in a prayer. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, I'm going to count to three, and I would love for you just to put your hand in the air and just wave it for a second until I see it. So if that's you tonight, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, and tonight is your night to respond to him knocking on the door of your heart. Don't wait till Easter Sunday. You can do it right now. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Who are those people? Just put your hand here. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Who else is there? Who else is there tonight? Thank you. I see your hand. Who else is there? I know there's some more people. And right now, your heart could be beating in your chest. You're having maybe a battle on the inside of you. Who else is there tonight? Who else needs to respond to Jesus tonight and make tonight their night? Thank you. I see your hand. Who else is there tonight? Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Come on. In the last minute we've got, don't leave tonight disconnected from Jesus Christ. Tonight is your night. Is there anybody else? A few hands have gone up. Is there anybody else tonight to respond to this? Just wave your hand at me right now. Who else is there? Who else is there? Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, you can open your eyes. We're going to pray a prayer all together right now. And The handful of you, there's about 4 or 5 of you that raise your hand. This prayer is for you, but we're going to pray this prayer all together. And why don't we stand to our feet while we do this, church? This is an amazing moment, and this is why we do church. This is why we do church, so that the people who are disconnected from Jesus Christ can be reconnected with Him. So come on, church, let's pray this prayer all together right now. Dear Jesus, thank You for hanging on that cross. For my sin, for my debt, I accept You as my Lord, and I accept You as my Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, 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 amen. So for the 4 or 5 of you that raised your hand straight after service, I would love for you, please, to go to our response lounge. You see the little light over there that says response lounge. We've got a ministry team that want to give you a Bible, want to give you a book, help you to follow Jesus. We want to take a moment to pray with you. But church, in the last 3 or 4 minutes we have here tonight, I kind of feel like being Good Friday, that God wants to heal some people just before we close up service. Is that cool? Is it cool? Is it cool if at church people can get healed? Yeah. You see, John 10:10 says this: I have come that you may have life and have life in abundance, or have life more abundantly. You see, Jesus did not just die on a cross for our lives after we die. There's this crazy theology out there that people have bought into, that oh yeah, salvation's cool. It means you get to go to heaven. And that's absolutely correct. Yes, you get to go to heaven. But the other side of it too is that you can have a great life now. God wants you and I to have a great life now. And Christians don't get this sometimes. But check out this scripture here, Isaiah 53, verse 5. But He was pierced for our rebellion, He was crushed for our sins, and He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. Another version of this scripture says, by His stripes we are healed. I'm gonna ask the media guys to go ahead and put that picture up on the screen if they can. If you guys have got it, it's a picture. There's a picture that's hopefully going to go up on the screen. You see right here, this is a picture in Israel. And the ground you can see in this picture is where Jesus walked after He was whipped, where He bled. He bled right there as He walked after being whipped by the cat of nine tails. And I think if we're not careful, we can forget that by His stripes we are healed, and that you and I are not called to go through life hanging on to sicknesses and things and diseases. Because Jesus bled on those bricks for you and I so that we could be healed. So listen, if you're facing any kind of sickness in the last 2 minutes we have right now, I want our ministry team to come forward. I want you to come forward. I want you to come to the front. Any sickness at all, any illness at all. Life is too short to accept what the devil has dealt you. You may be going through a physical sickness, or I'm telling you, you could be going through a mental illness right now. And I'm telling you, that's not of God. God does not want you and I to walk through life carrying fear, anxiety, or depression. And in the last 2 minutes we have here tonight, our ministry team is going to be praying. So if that's you tonight, if you want prayer for anything at all, please come right now on this Good Friday service. Get healed. Get set free. Come on, who the sun sets free is free indeed. So if you need prayer, come on, come to the front right now. People are already starting to come.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.